We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Hei, and we've been discussing Gava, haughtiness, pride, arrogance. And in this chapter, the Magen Midubna was discussing the products of arrogance. And the next paragraph should really be introduced with a famous story. There was a man who was lying on his deathbed, and everyone thought that he had passed already. He was lying there super still. And his wife says to the neighbor's wife, she says to him, "He was such a kind man. He was such a good father. He was such a caring man, a giving man, a considerate man. What a man." And suddenly they hear from the bed, his voice croaks and says, "You got nothing to say about my modesty, my humility?" With that, let's begin the next paragraph. Uchval yizdamen kvar ruach. And there are really types of arrogance. Asher begavato gono yivcha liyot rashum gam bemalat anava. That part of the pride, part of the haughtiness, causes a person to desire to be considered by others to be humble. Yes? So sometimes arrogance makes a person want to be considered humble. Losif tilal tilotav. He wants to be praised. And one of the praises that he wants is people should say about him that he's humble. Yelech shachuach blochoach. So he walks around, he's hunched, like he doesn't have strength. He speaks to people who are smaller than himself. And he tries to make friends with the most common folk. But his point is so that people will say, "Look how modest he is. Look how humble he is. Look at how he even talks to the taxi driver. He even talks to the bus driver. He's such a humble person." So the Magen Midubna says, this is a fire that will consume to destruction. If he doesn't have a serious turnaround, a change of heart, where internally he feels a true fear of punishment, that's the only thing that can really cure him of his desire of his arrogance. But it's a very far-fetched thing that he'll really be cured. And part of what happens here is that the arrogance will cause him to minimize his activity, his productivity. And here we have a phenomenal line. We should really frame this line. He says, whether something is hard or not depends on the person who's doing the task. Meaning, sometimes you have, I have it with the kids this past Friday. So I was giving the kids cake on Friday afternoon, and I asked the kids to call the other kids who weren't in the room. And one of the kids, whenever we ask him Friday night to help clear off the table, conks out and says, "I don't have koach." He doesn't have strength. So I asked them to call all the kids but him to get a piece of cake. And I didn't say anything to him. And he sees all his siblings are getting cake. So he comes prancing into the kitchen and says, "Hi, Abba, can I also have a piece of cake?" So I said, "Ooh, I'm sorry, I don't have koach." So he stood there and he was wondering, what's the joke? So I had waited, after a few weeks of every Friday night, he doesn't help clear off the table, he doesn't have koach, he doesn't have strength, so fine. So I didn't say anything, and I gave the other kids, and I didn't point it out to him, but when I was waiting for him to come, and when he showed up, he fell in hook, line, and sinker, boom. So he looked at me, he smiled, he made an about face and walked out of the room. he understood what the message was. So I went after him. I said, I realized I'm not going to win now, right? So I sat with him and I said, "Do you really think I don't have koach?" So he said, "No." I said, "Okay, so why do you think I said that?" Silence, right? He knows. I said, "Okay, so you tell me, tonight when we clear the table, are you going to have koach or not?" Silence. And then a smile. And then, okay, yeah, he will. Suddenly, no problem. When it comes to work, you can't just gauge work by how hard it is. We had a guy in high school, big muscle man. In recess, for kicks, he would go to the small cars in the parking lot and lift them. This guy was big. So he work and how difficult something is, well, that depends on the person doing the work. And to a certain degree, it depends on his attitude. You go to a pauper who's harvesting, who's threshing, who's plowing his field, so beating against the stones, that's what's hard work. Ask him what's hard work, I'll tell you. Come cut down some tree, fell trees with me, you'll see, that's hard. Go to someone who's pampered, who's spoiled. He'll sit there writing a letter in his air-conditioned home, and after 2 hours, he'll come out and say, oh boy, that was hard. You take the simplest things, and he'll say, that was so difficult. The same is true when it comes to pride. When a person values themselves so much, even when he does something minuscule, he considers it so huge. Look at what a giant I am. Look at what I did. And even if he does a little, he considers it like he did a lot because he values himself so much and he values his actions so much. So the third product of haughtiness is it distances a person from God. It causes a person sometimes to even try to act humble as part of his arrogance. And it causes that a person will have difficulty doing almost every task because he values himself so much. So everything he does is giant. It's huge. It isn't really giant or huge, but when a person's arrogant, he considers every little thing he does as giant and huge. Revi'it, and the final fourth product of arrogance is ki atavat ve'or litkabed biklon chavero. Arrogance causes a person to take pride in his friend's shame. Asher hi sibah lachito me'er tzchaim b'shnei olamim. And when a person takes pride in someone else's shame, when they can make fun of someone or they could enjoy someone else's error, so that causes a person to lose both worlds, this world and the world to come. Our sages say that when someone shames someone else, he doesn't have a portion in the world to come, he doesn't have a portion with the Jewish people. Or else he loses his lot in the world to come, and others merit it, as the Talmud says, there can be situations where a person merits to inherit his friend's lot in the world to come. And when a person is wicked, he could take his and his friend's lot in perdition. So arrogance causes many problems. And the final problem he listed was that it leads a person to take pride in his friend's shame. And it's very simple. When a person is very focused on what's everyone else thinking of me? What are they saying about me? How will I make them think I'm great? So then any way he could get there is legit. And what happens is a person becomes very obsessed with this question. What's everyone saying about me? What's everyone thinking about me? How can I get him to think positive about me? We live in a world where this is a big deal. In today's world, it's even legitimized. Teenagers will tell you that, of course, everyone cares what everyone else thinks about them. To my mind, that's one of the reasons why the use of psychologists and psychiatrists is on the rise, because society has accepted this, where much of what we live is about how do our friends view us. So the pictures we post, the lines we say, the cynicism that's rampant, it's all about making an impression. There's much less focus on who we really are, and there's much more focus on how we portray ourselves. We live in a day and age where the question is, what's your profile picture on Facebook? The question is, how many friends do you have on Facebook? It's not a question of how many friends do you have in life. It's a question of what do other people see? People I never met, I never said a word to, put me as their friend on Facebook. And it's not because they saw my shiurim. It's because I'm a friend of their friends. So it's a popularity contest. No, it's a contest of I want people to think I'm popular. So we live in a world that's very focused on the image we project and much less focused on who we really are. And that's one of the reasons, I think, that people are so messed up. Yeah?
There's that famous Husker line, if I am I because you were you, and you were you because I am not I, and you are not you. So of course we're messed up if that's the case.
The Magen Midovna ends the chapter. He says, I can't really encompass all the points that develop from arrogance, but as a general rule, you should know, if there's one trait that houses all the other bad traits, it's this, it's arrogance. A person who's had the breeze of arrogance fly through him, so he's stiff-necked, he's stubborn, because it's all about his pride. Every discussion, every argument, you've probably met people like that, where anything you discuss with them is right away touching their pride. It's you can never have a question that's not touching their pride. Mitzchon nechusha, they're brazen. Kaso lava, anger is in an uproar. Evrato shmura, and they maintain enmity, and they can bear a grudge. Sichluto chazaka, foolishness is violent. Shukatom ruba, the desire is great. All these, if you think about them deeply, they're outgrowths of arrogance. Lachen emor lagava shehem kol midot ro'ot v'shorosh poreh kol zugei pechitut. That's why a person should recognize it for what it is. Arrogance is the mother of all bad traits and the root of all harm. So that's the conclusion of our fourth chapter.